Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
You know, I feel good. I always can get better. But, you know, I know myself. I know how usually it goes. You know, if I'm healthy, things are going to be okay.
The head coach.
You know, offensively, I think, you know, we make a few more shots. Could be dangerous.
And the fans.
You got a guy in Giannis. He's just, like, the most likable human being, and all the other people fall in line with that. Everybody kind of takes after him. And it just, it's really positive to see that be the team that we give.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Now, here's your host, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And that is what it's supposed to look like. That is what we expected in game one. That is what I expect to see the rest of the series. A butt kicking of the Orlando Magic. That is what 1 vs. 8 is supposed to look like. Not what we saw in game one of this series. Bucks win 111-96. Welcome in. Broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors at Wisconsin Studio. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, as you just heard. Mayor Mitch Ross, other side of the glass, producing these post games throughout the postseason, has been with us pretty much from the start, I'd say. Well, maybe not exactly from the start, but he's been with us for quite a long time. He'll be here to take your calls and get the guests lined up on the air tonight. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. This is how we're going to start off, right? This is what we're going to do. It's going to be a fill in the blank. This is going to be the topic tonight. The Bucks won tonight because fill in the blank. The Bucks won tonight because what? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Just got to fill in the blank. Before we get to filling in the blank, let's go inside the box score.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. On the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. And see what your favorite players did in today's game. Presented by Otto's Wine and Spirits. Locally owned, offering the widest selection of beer, wine, and liquor with everyday low prices at their 7 Milwaukee locations. Otto'sWineAndSpirits.com.
Brewers were getting no hit into the fifth inning, and Eric Sogard just broke up the no-hitter, so that's good. Bucks win 111-96. Giannis tonight, 32 minutes, 10 of 23 from the field for Giannis. 1 of 5 from 3, 7 of 8 from the line. That's a nice number. 28 points for Giannis, 20 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 turnovers. Eesh. Don't want to see that. Chris Middleton, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Chris Middleton tonight. 31 minutes, 1 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3, 2 points. That's Chris Middleton. 2 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and 4 turnovers for Chris Middleton in 31 minutes. Brooke Lopez, 33 minutes, 8 of 12 from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3, didn't attempt a single free throw, 20 points, 3 boards, a steal, a block, and 1 turnover. Eric Bledsoe, 26 minutes, 6 of 12 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, 1 of 1 from the line, 13 points, 2 boards, 7 assists, a steal, a block, 4 turnovers for Eric Bledsoe in just 26 minutes. Wesley Matthews, 22 minutes played, 2 of 5 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3-point range for Wes Matthews, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 7 points, 1 assist. That's all. Marvin Williams, 16 minutes played, 1 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 2 points, 6 boards, a steal for Marvin Williams tonight. Robin Lopez got some playing time tonight, 10 minutes, 1 of 1 from the floor. He had 2 points. George Hill, 19 minutes, not nearly the same effect as game 1. He had 2 points and 1 of 2 shooting, 4 boards, a couple of assists, and 1 turnover. Kyle Korver, 16 minutes, 3 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3, 1 of 1 from the line, 9 points, 3 boards, 1 assist for Korver. Pat Connaughton, 24 minutes, 5 of 8 from the field, all were 3-point attempts. He was huge tonight. 15 points, 11 boards, 3 assists, 2 block shots, and a turnover. Dante DiVincenzo, 11 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 11 points, 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 turnovers for DiVincenzo. No Sterling Brown, no Ersan Ilyasova. The Bucks shoot 47.2%, just 34.8% from Orlando. They were brutal, especially in the first half. 36.6% shooting from 3, 15 of 41. Orlando, 7 of 33. Yeesh! 21% there. Free throws, 12 of 16 for the Bucks. Only 16 free throw attempts. The Magic got to the line 31 times for attempts. 31 attempts compared to 16 for the Bucks. They were 27 of 31 for Orlando. Rebounds, Bucks hammer them, 57 to 42. Assists, 26-18. Advantage the Milwaukee Bucks there as well. Turnovers, a horrible number 20 for the Bucks. 11 for Orlando, 111 to 96. Now, let's just kind of review this game a little bit, right? So, the beginning part of the game was brutal. Like, it looked like two basketball teams that weren't very good that were playing against each other for the first few minutes of the game. It was sloppy, there was missed shots, there was turnovers. It was an ugly start to this game. From an intensity level, it appeared the Bucks were obviously playing at a much greater intensity level than they were in the first game. So that was a positive sign. As the half continued, the Orlando Magic never were able to get their outside shooting going. It just never happened. They were, at last I saw, it was 1 of 16, 1 of 17 from 3 in the first half. So, yes, you win, which is good. I just don't know if this is a true indicator of what the rest of this series is going to look like because of just how bad they shot the three ball in this game. Excited they hammered the Magic. Happy to see that. But you would have to imagine Orlando does not go 1 for 16 shooting the 3.5 again in this series. Maybe they do. And if they do, that's great. Free throws. 15 more free throw attempts for an 8 seed over a 1 seed. That seems crazy to me. Rebounds 57 to 42. That's just more heart and hustle and effort from the Bucks finally in this game over game 1. And Giannis, 20 boards by himself, 11 for Pat Connaughton, and that's a huge difference in this basketball game. But the question is, the Bucks won this basketball game because why? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. I'm not going to deprive all of you that want to talk about Chris Middleton. We obviously can dive into Chris Middleton's game tonight too, and definitely want to do that as well. All right, so I want to get to the MVP of the game.
Who stood out most from tonight's game? Who will they be talking about tomorrow? It's time for today's MVP of the game, brought to you by Chevrolet. Check out the all-new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDrivesChevy.com. It's the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show on The Fan.
All right, MVP of the game. Yeah, we could go Giannis, 28, 20, and 5. I'm not. I'm going Pat Connaughton. Pat Connaughton, MVP of this game. I'm not going to go Giannis. With all due respect, Giannis is going to be the MVP of the league. Well, he should be. Back-to-back MVP, doing MVP-type things tonight. But Pat Connaughton was a difference maker off of this bench. He brought energy. He brought shot-making. He was able to knock down threes, 5 of 8. He hit the boards with 11 boards, 2 block shots, a huge block shot early in that game. Pat Connaughton, MVP of the game. For sure. Pat C was doing his thing in the bubble tonight. That series now between the Brewers and the, not the Brewers, the Bucks and the Orlando Magic now tied up at one apiece. The other thing to me that stood out about this game, besides Pat Connaughton, was the fact that Bledsoe still was pretty aggressive. 12 shots in 26 minutes. That's not horrible. Four turnovers, that's obviously not good, but his other two star players in the lineup also had four or more turnovers. Four by Middleton, seven by Giannis. But if Bledsoe can just continue to take 12 or so shots a game throughout the playoffs and get six or seven assists, I'm good. I really am. I'm good. I'd like to see him get to the free throw line for more than one attempt, but I'm pretty good with that for Bledsoe. No problems. Brooke Lopez, if he takes 12 shots and he hits four threes in a game for the rest of the playoffs, I'm good with that too. Odds are he's going to get more than one block every game. He's going to have games where he's going to get two, three, four blocks. I'm fine with what Brooke Lopez did tonight. I have no issue. Giannis didn't shoot the ball or play all that well offensively. What was he, like 8 of 21, I think, at one point before the last two baskets made. So it's nothing special necessarily about what he was doing offensively. The one thing that has to change is the obvious thing. Chris Middleton. Mayor Mitch tweeted out from his personal account earlier whether or not this may have been Chris Middleton's worst game of his career.
Yeah.
And when you said I kind of laughed. You're like, Sparky, he's got 2 points. Like, it has to be close, right?
2 points, four turnovers, four personal fouls, 0 for 4 from 3, 1 for 8 from the... I mean, I'm sure you've beat it to death here. But, I mean, it's got to be close.
Now, think about this for a second. Okay, you beat Orlando with this, okay? You're not beating Miami like this.
I mean, I know. That's the issue.
And I'm not even talking about Toronto or Boston yet in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm saying the next round against the Miami Heat, he's got the...
The Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Friday morning on the Bart Winkler.
There's a ghost in the studio.
No, it wasn't a ghost. It was my hand. I talked with my hands, and I hit the commercial to play. That's what happened. No ghost. My hand hit
the
board.
Getting fired up already.
Yeah, my hand hit the stupid board. For me, this is the thing. You've got the rest of this Orlando series, Chris, to kind of figure it out. Now, Bucks fans are going to be jerks on Twitter and social media, and they're going to bash you and all that fun stuff, and that's just what fans do. Okay, fine. But he literally has the rest of the playoff series to figure it out. But he has to be ready to go by Miami. He just does. I mean, you play again Saturday, okay? And you play again Monday.
And he was good against Miami in the, you know, the basically the one bubble game the Bucks had to play, right?
Right.
The one half that we saw of good Bucks basketball that made me feel decent going into the playoffs that we didn't see
the horrible first half of that same game.
Correct. Which is...
They were horrible in the first half of that game.
They were game one Orlando.
Yes.
Against Miami, and you see what happens there.
Correct.
You have no shot.
None.
And, I mean, he was good in that game, so maybe he can figure it out, but this is unacceptable. I mean, they won tonight, but, okay, you know, you're supposed to win. It didn't make me feel that great. That, I mean, the way the game ended wasn't pretty. I mean, they didn't almost lose or anything like that, but it wasn't as good as it should have been.
So now the question is not really a question, but the thing that you're looking at now is Middleton, right? Going into game three, you want Middleton to get himself back on track. And the other thing you're looking at is, will Orlando shoot this bad again from three? I think the odds are against it, to be quite honest with you, that's probably not going to happen going into game three. But the Bucks' intensity level was much better. Defensively, they swarmed to the basketball much better than they did in game one. They deserve all kinds of credit for that. They were far more active on the offensive side of the floor as far as motion and moving guys around. That was all positive. There really weren't a lot of negatives to take away from this game outside of Middleton not playing well. And then the normal stuff of, man, oh, man. Giannis just can't get a call with the referees. Man, oh, man. They're just bullying him all around, can't get a foul called. Folks, you can waste your energy on that if you would like. And if you want to, go ahead. But I don't think it's going to change. If you think he's getting bullied now, wait to see what happens with the Heat series. Wait. Wait to see what happens when Jimmy Butler, a star in his own right, is on the floor with Giannis and D'ing him up in a postseason game. Wait to see how that one's going to play out. Because Eric Spoelstra coaches that Heat team up to play physical. And that's what they do all year long. So if you think he's getting, you know, bopped all over the place in this Orlando series, wait till you see the next series. You're going to give yourself a coronary. So you better just get used to it. And not only you, but Giannis too. I mean, the end of that game, he was all freaking out about a call. And then he's, after the game's over, game was over, right back up to the referees we go with Giannis, talking to him. Dude, you can't let him get in your heads, man. You just cannot let it happen. And Marcus Johnson of Fox Sports Wisconsin was even saying the same thing. Dude, get him off the floor before he explodes. Just get him off the floor. And Boonholzer did. Boop, pulled him. 56 seconds to go in the game. Out you come. Not taking any chances. Now, is this bubble related? Right? Is his patience wearing more thin than normal because he's in the bubble? Don't know. Doesn't really matter. He's going to have to figure it out one way or the other. He's got to figure out how to play through it. He's got to be able to figure out how to play through travel calls. And that was another one. Marcus Johnson even said it during the broadcast there too. It's borderline ridiculous how many times they're getting called for travel on the Bucks end. Having to Brook Lopez, and Marcus Johnson goes, it's just a lack of concentration. When you have that many traveling calls, that's lack of concentration by the players. Called him to the floor right off the bat on it. And that's true. So you have to continue to work on getting your focus, continue to work on getting better, and see what happens in game three on Saturday. If Orlando comes out shooting that three ball better, you're going to need all hands on deck probably from the Bucks to win that basketball game. If they do. They shoot like they did tonight, should be another win. Because the Bucks didn't play well at the beginning of this game either today. But they played better than Orlando, and that's all you really had to do at the end of the day. All right, let's eye up the enemy.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, so the Bucks come up on the winning end tonight, 111-96 over the Orlando Magic. The Magic, Vucevic, kicked their butt in the first game, no different this game. And again, you're okay with it if you're Milwaukee, as long as nobody else has their way with you too. Vucevic, 32 points, 10 rebounds for the Orlando Magic tonight. Nobody else had more than 12 points for the Magic. Fournier had 12 points on 4 of 13, shooting 1 of 6 from 3. Again, 3-point specialist. Terrence Ross, another one, a 3-point guy. He was 4 of 14, 2 of 7 from 3 off the bench with 12 points. So legitimately, yes, Vucevic owned you, but nobody else got up off the mat to do any damage to you, and that's how you win if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks win 111-96. The Milwaukee Bucks won because why? And if you're frustrated and angry at Chris Middleton or whatever, we'll take your Chris Middleton thoughts as well. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. I want to hear from you next here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studios.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Bucks appear in good shape from a health perspective. Nobody appears to have gotten dinged up in this one. That's always a good sign. Also doesn't appear that anybody was dinged up coming in. Ersan was warming up before the game. NBA draft lottery, by the way, just happened. The Minnesota Timberwolves win the number one overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft. Well, I mean, Wiseman was supposed to be, or a lot of people thought Wiseman might be that guy, but maybe it's Edwards from Georgia. That's you agree with me, Mara Mitch?
I think so. I don't think I would touch LaMelo Ball.
No.
I mean, he's a nice prospect, I guess. He's like 6'6", 18 years old, 19 years old, whatever he is.
In Minnesota.
He's been playing pro for...
You think LaVar's going to like him in Minnesota?
Right, that'd be part of the issue. I also think him and D'Angelo Russell are the same player.
Yeah.
Kind of a larger point guard that love the ball.
Yep.
Yeah, if I'm Minnesota, I'm probably leaning Anthony Edwards.
That's what I think I would lean at number one. For Georgia, or not for Georgia,
unless you want Wiseman and want to play Cat at the four,
and the Bulls,
or vice versa,
they end up at four. So they moved up from where they were. So from that perspective, I think Chicago isn't in a horrible position either. I think they're going to get a nice player at four in this one. So
your boy Joe Varden on Twitter complaining about how the Cavs have been terrible for a couple of years, and they have now fallen two different times to the number five seed or number five pick.
And you can
tell unfortunately,
him to shut that bleep up after all the number one picks they've
exactly.
had. You I don't want to hear a dang word about Cleveland. Cry me a river. Like, that ain't anybody's deal. That they've won so many number one picks. It's not our fault you took Anthony Bennett with one of them. That's your own dang fault.
Well,
stop.
Our friend Rami Makhlouf, who's a Minnesota sports expert, will be on the covering the Bill Michaels show tomorrow. So
he's up in Minneapolis, and I'm sure very excited that Minnesota gets that pick. That probably doesn't care anymore. Bucks 111, Orlando 96. Asking you about this Bucks game. Thoughts on the game, obviously, and talking about Chris Middleton, if you'd like. Golden State, second overall pick. Sorry, I'm distracted. If Edwards goes one, Wiseman has to go two to Golden State if it was me, right? Have to go there. I mean, there's no need to take Ball. You got Steph Curry. You're not going to do that up there at that top. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. Isn't it nice not to act like tonight is Christmas? How many years did we as Bucks fans gather around our TVs with the popcorn and hope and pray that we would win the draft lottery? I remember the one year when they ended up getting number one and ended up being Boga that year. I was literally in a drive-through when they won the number one pick and raced back to the radio station and had an emergency radio show, came on the air and took calls celebrating the fact that the Bucks had won. I don't really miss those days at all. I'd much rather be talking about a playoff game at this point. Mike Southside, you're next up on the Pick 'n Save Pro Hoops post game show after the Bucks get a 111-96 victory. What's up, Mike? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you're killing me here, Spike. Who is the best Bucks first round draft pick ever?
Lou Alcindor.
There you go. I thought Lopez and Bledsoe played better, but the elephant in the room is Middleton. Complete no-show. Ersan Brown or even DJ Wilson. Do you think they're displaying him because he makes so much money?
No.
Well, wasn't he like 1 for 6 and 2 for 8 and
1 for 8 was Middleton, yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're playing because he's the second most talented player on this basketball team at this point.
But
regardless of how much he makes, he's still the second most talented player on the team, Mike.
Yeah, well, I guess just because they didn't have a good game, but they still won.
Exactly, but I don't know. Thanks for the call. I don't know if you can do this against the Heat and get away with it. I don't. I'm not convinced it's going to work the same way against the Miami Heat. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side. Ram wants to hop aboard on the north side, and we'll take more of your calls too. 414-7 against the Miami Heat. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side. Ram wants to hop aboard on the north side, and we'll take more of your calls too. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. The Bucks won tonight because... That's one lane. And then I guess the other lane is your thoughts on Chris Middleton and where we're going with him next here on The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Manis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power. at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, so the Bucks come up victorious against the Orlando Magic tonight. See Sparky Fiverr with you. Mayor Mitch Ross, other side of the glass. 111.96 Bucks over the Magic. Taking your calls tonight, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Giannis leads the way with 28 points, 20 boards, 5 assists, 7 turnovers, though. 10 of 23 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3 for Giannis. But really, I think MVP of this game is Pat Connaughton. 15 points, 11 boards, 3 assists, couple of block shots, 5 of 8 shooting, all from 3. A couple of defensive turning moments in the game, I guess you could say. And that is the defensive play of the game.
Steal, Augustine, Iwundu, what a shot, Pat Connaughton.
Give me that, Wes Iwundu. I want that, Iwundu.
And he got that, indeed, did Pat Connaughton. Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Paschke and Marcus Johnson on the call there. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will join us coming up in just a little bit. Ram on the north side, you're next on The Fan. What's up, Ram?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I'm happy they won. That's good.
Well, yeah, they won. But my question is...
Don't do it.
Giannis got to play so hard
to
win.
Yep.
And that's going to be a problem.
Well, it's not going to be a problem this series, but it could be a problem.
Tonight.
It's not going to be a problem this series. Hold on. It's not going to be a problem this series. It could be a problem by the time you get to the NBA Finals that he could be tired from that standpoint.
I don't know if they're going to make it that far. Not with Giannis playing like this and nobody else stepping up. I just believe when you're paying a guy $38 million, he's supposed to step up. And if you got to go by committee, this could be dragged out 7 games because Orlando is not scared of them. They don't fear them like that. They don't fear the Bucks like that. And you can tell by the way they played. They came out, they missed shots, but Vukovic still did his thing. So the difference this game was last game, Vukovic did his game, he had help, and the Bucks, Giannis did his thing, he didn't. So they kind of neutralized itself out. But going back to what you said about the whole Middleton thing, see, I've been saying all along, he's just not that dude, man. He not up there with the Klay Thompsons and the Westbrooks and the Harden. He not. But he getting paid like that. So the fan base is like, man, what's going on? You have more turnovers and fouls and points in a playoff game?
Yep. And again, I'm not going to sit here and defend Chris Middleton for a bad game. All I'm saying is
he has several bad games.
Not like this. He's not going to have another game of 2 points, though. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's not going to do that again. But having said that, he has through now the rest of this series to figure it out because he can't do that type of stuff against the Heat. Just can't happen. He's got to get back to being Middleton.
Did he make him play like this? He never had no good games against the Heat. Did he make him play the way he's playing right now, even though he had a real bad shooting game? But the difference was, if you notice, they had somebody in his face that he can't separate from nobody getting shot off. He need that spacing or he need a screen. You 6'8", and you can't shoot over nobody. Come on, man. Stop it, Sparky. Just to call it for what it is, man. You know, so now we're looking at it like, okay, who's going to step up next game to help Giannis out? That's what you're really looking at.
It's going to be Middleton. I'm going to be here all postseason, Ram. You and me, baby. I'm here all postseason.
We want him to win. We want to win.
Want him to win. Yes.
Yeah, we want him to win, but you got to make executive decisions about who you want to play with Giannis to win.
But Ram, on this team for the rest of this postseason, he's the second most talented player on this team, whether you want to admit it or not.
He's the second highest paid.
No, second most talented.
I don't know about it because he's not athletic. He's not more athletic than Brown and Connaughton.
Who is the second most athletic? Who's not athletic? Who's the second most talented player on this team?
I think it's a fall off. It's like 4 or 5 guys that's probably about equal.
Oh, good God.
We talking about basketball. 5 skill set, talent ability. It's about 5 or 6 guys. That I'm talking about talent wise.
Talent, yeah, talent. Yeah, I got you. All right, Rev. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I got you. I gotta go. Do me a favor, Mayor Mitch. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go on social media. I want you to put a picture.
Twitter.com. Okay,
right. I want you to put a picture up of Chris Middleton. I don't care from what game. Put a picture up of Chris Middleton. I want you then to put this tweet out there.
Do you want a smiling picture, a frowning picture?
Smiling picture of Middleton, yeah. Okay. Something that makes
like
him
a mugshot
look, something that makes him look really good, right? Maybe him dunking the ball or shooting a three.
Now you're biased. Okay, I see.
I want you, because I don't want to persuade people. I want you to ask this question.
Chris Middleton, how mad does he make you?
Who are the top three most talented players on this basketball team?
Okay.
No. I changed my mind. Who are the next three most talented basketball players on this team after Giannis?
Here's a relatively neutral picture of Chris Middleton playing, dribbling, driving to the bucket on James Ennis.
Perfect. So that's the question. Who are the next three most talented players on this Bucks team after Giannis? Put them in order. 2, 3, 4. You can call as well. Come on. There can't be more people that agree with Ram that he's not the second most talented player on this team. There can't be any more. I just don't believe anybody.
I think Ram's point was there's a large drop-off after Giannis, which I...
To four or five guys? So Middleton is as talented as four or five other dudes on this team?
I think he meant hypothetically there should be four or five guys.
He never said hypothetically.
I don't know.
You're just trying to help.
Honestly, I don't know what Ram's saying half the time. All I hear is Middleton sucks.
Man, you need to stop. Hypothetically. The man never said hypothetically at any time during that call. Stop. Dan, you're next on the Fan. Good evening, Dan. Bucks win 111-96. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys taking my call. I just can say this. Like, first of all, don't judge Middleton based on one game. This cat is breaking records in the NBA, and like, I just don't understand why people are hating. People have a bad game. With that being said, we won, and not just that, but we have a talented number two all-star on our team, and we also have Brook Lopez, who should be and is one of the best defensive players in the league. So like, relax. I'll bring in Aaron Rodgers, little quote again. Relax. We're 1-1. This happened last year. We're going to take care of business. Don't stress.
All right, now do me a favor. Now I want you to answer this question. You heard Ram. So Giannis is the most talented player. That's undisputable. Now, who are the next three players
Middleton.
Then who?
Middleton is number two. He is an all-star. That's not even a question mark.
Okay, then who?
A conversation. And I personally think Brook Lopez is our three.
Okay.
Defensive stud and offensive, I mean, a three-point specialist. We have a team to win a championship. Enough is enough. Relax, guys. I know it's a weird bubble thing. We're going to be all right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Now, he says Brook Lopez is three. City Moncrief agrees with him. City Moncrief said the three on this team is Giannis, Middleton, and Brook Lopez. City Moncrief on this show said that he thinks Brook Lopez is the most complete offensive player on this basketball team. Said it on these airwaves on this show to me and to you that was listening that night. True story, it happened. But Chris Middleton is still number two, regardless of what you got to say about everything else. It's definitely not anybody on a drop off. Oh my God. I love me some Ram. Like, Ram has been listening to this station forever and a day. I appreciate his calls. We go back and forth all the time, which is fine, but this thing on Middleton, come on. Sean and Racine, you're next on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz in Milwaukee North. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sparky. I got to give props to Ram. He actually called in after a win. I figured he would only call in after they lost.
Oh, no. Everybody on social media knew it was coming because how bad Middleton played. Everybody said, don't take his call.
I do like the fact, though, that he seemed to forget when he's poo-pooed all the other role players that stepped up in this game when he said basically kind of sends a joke. He's basically just only able to dunk. He went 5 for 8 from three. Sure, he doesn't do it consistently. But honestly, I do agree that Middleton will not do that again, just like you said. He is almost 50-40-90 this year. He's an all-star. He may have gotten paid a little bit too much, but it was for continuity between him and Giannis. You want to keep Giannis here. You want to keep him happy. But Chris does have to step it up, and I do agree with the previous caller that in order, it probably at this point is Giannis, Middleton, and Lopez when it comes to talent as far as the players go overall. That needs to pick up from Middleton. Otherwise, against the Heat, Giannis is going to run himself into the ground trying to carry this team on his back. I do think they get a gentleman sweep here against the Magic, and if it is the Heat indeed, which it probably will be, I still think they take care of business. I just want to make sure they make it all the way to the finals. They definitely have to this year.
Yeah. And you can't afford a second-round bump out here, for sure. I agree with you on that, Sean. Thanks for the call. Look, Ram's point was a valid one in that he said Giannis can't be carrying the load this heavy already. And then as you go through the postseason, I get down with that look, he's going to get tired exerting all this effort to win basketball games if he's not getting more help. And it'll probably catch up with him Eastern Conference Finals or NBA Finals at some point. For certain, it'll catch up with him. I got news for you. LeBron James is going to have to do the same thing, or very similar to the same thing, out in L.A. with the Lakers. Yeah, and Dean Davis is going to do his, but LeBron's going to exert a lot of energy too, because that team, as far as depth goes, ain't all that impressive to me. Just not. Clippers, deeper team, sure. But Clippers got their hands full because that Dallas team may knock them out in the first round. That's very possible. Very possible that could happen. And that's the crazy part about that. Here we go. This is fitting.
Did that really just happen? It's time for the Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the Game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagner.com. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, on The Fan.
That was the Are You Kidding Me? Moment, was Ram's phone call. It's supposed to be from the game. I understand. But in this instance, with what he said, I'm going to say that was the Are You Kidding Me moment. We don't even got to worry about the game itself. Maybe the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game was the fact that Middleton was that bad tonight. 1 of 8, 0 of 4 from 3. 31 minutes, 2 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, 1 steal, 4 turnovers. Maybe that was the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game was Middleton. It's either that or it's Rams' call. Your choice. Bucks win 111-96. Give me the next 3 most talented players on this Bucks team after Giannis. Is Middleton 2? Is Bledsoe or Lopez 3? Because now Ram has me all fired up. Good job. All right, we're back. It is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studios. Steve Sparky, 5-4 here. Mayor Mitch Ross, executive producer, other side of the glass. Bucks win a 111-96. Game 2 winners there. Now they are tied up in the series 1-1. That also means that Game 3 is Saturday afternoon. So we'll have our post-game show Saturday afternoon after Game 3 between the Bucks and the Magic, and it is weird because in a normal series, right, you would have the Bucks having played those 2 games at Fiserv Forum, and you'd be headed to Orlando to their crowd to go through Game 3 and Game 4 at this point. But because of the way this thing is set up, atmosphere doesn't change. I guess it does a little. It's their music now in the bubble during the game, right? And it's more along the lines of their chance and whatever else that there is to do in the bubble that they can put in artificially. So from that aspect, but from a fan aspect, sound aspect, no different. Same thing going forward. All right, let's go to Alex in West Allis. You're next on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show here on The Fan with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Spark?
Good, bud.
Hey, I got a couple things. A few things. The first thing I got is Bledsoe. Man, for his perimeter defense, he gives you almost, I mean, like, he had a decent game today, but he disappears. He lacks the necessary poise that your point guard should have. I mean, like, he has no poise, like none. And that's troubling. Like, you know, so basically he has to sit for George Hill in the closing moments of a tight game. He cannot play.
Because he'll turn it over.
Right.
Yep.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, my God, Orlando is getting the number one seed whistle. I mean, they shot almost double the free throws we shot.
Sure did.
And, you know, turnovers, and I know Giannis had seven. He got a couple of, you know, they're squeezing him a little bit on that, on the travel. I mean, and obviously with the offensive fouls, man, I mean, like.
I guarantee you, every coaching staff that they're going to see will be on the referees about how many steps they take. And they will be on them constantly. And it wouldn't even surprise me if they've sent tape in to the league office throughout the season about Giannis and his steps and saying, you better watch this because he's consistently traveling. It very well could be that they have those extra set of eyes out looking for something where in the past they probably weren't. But now every coaching staff is making a big deal about it.
Right. I mean, I just feel like they're squeezing them. But even as, and this is going to sound horrible, I mean, like, it's going to sound really crazy, but even as bad as Giannis played, he still put up a crazy line.
Sure did.
I mean, just, and he has not had a good floor game.
But think about this. As good as he played, Pat Connaughton really was the one of the bigger reasons why they won that basketball game.
Oh, he was what Korver is supposed to be as far as shooting.
Correct.
Yep. And he started doing that right when he got off of COVID. So I hope he keeps it going for the entire length of this playoff run. Thanks.
Well, I would hope so as well. Thanks for the call. And you know, the other thing for me of this whole deal is, guys, look, DiVincenzo, he's okay, right? He played better tonight. I'll give him that. Fine. Minutes went down, though. Only 11 minutes. They were messing around tonight with Dante DiVincenzo. And it's not going to be much different going ahead in these all these other games. Budenholzer cannot have patience like maybe you do in the regular season. You've got to be willing to go get a guy if he's not helping you at this point. You cannot leave him out there if he's turning over the ball, you know, more than he's making shots. Which can't happen. Now, tonight, he wasn't as bad. 11 points, couple of turnovers, 4 of 9 shooting, 1 of 2 from the line, 1 of 2 from 3, 2 of 4 from the line, fine. But they're going to need offense from this bench if Wesley Matthews can't get himself going offensively. And I don't know how much you can count on Brook Lopez to get you 20 every night necessarily in the postseason. But some of these guys are going to have to step up and play better. It's going to have to be what it is. And his point on Bledsoe is true. But that's Bledsoe's career. I mean, they knew that when they got Eric Bledsoe from Phoenix. That's not a revelation. That's kind of who this dude is. He can score you a bunch of points, but he can also turn it over in kind of key situations. But my problem with Bledsoe is what he talks about is disappearing. And Eric Name brought it up earlier today on the Wendy's Big Show. Said if you go back and look at that first game, he's playing under screens in that first game against Markelle Fultz, because nobody thinks Fultz can shoot, so you play under the screen. So he disengages, essentially. And once he disengages on the defensive side of the floor, you can kiss the offensive side of the floor goodbye as well. That's why it's such a different feel when it's him and Middleton and no Giannis, or him and Giannis and no Middleton, or him without both of them. I'll tell you, this is going to sound a little nutso. And it's not going to happen because they're not going to do it in the postseason. What would you say to Flippin' Hill and Bledsoe? What would you say to that? And essentially telling Bledsoe, you're going to be the guy in the second unit. You're going to be the main scorer on the second unit. You're going to go get it done. I'm going to rest Middleton and Giannis. Maybe Middleton be out there for a little bit with you. But there's going to be times where it's going to be you and those other guys, and you're going to have to be the scorer. And George, you're going to start and get us into our offense and get us going in the right direction. And Bled, we're going to bring you off the bench. May play the same minutes. One may play more than the other, depending on who's playing the best. But I want to try it and see what happens. If you're going to try something to see what happens, now's the time to do it. You do it now in the playoffs, in this first round, in a series that you should obviously win against Orlando, regardless of what happened in game one. Will they do it? Nah, probably not. Probably not. That's too drastic of a move to make in the playoffs. But his point on poise is very much on point. Let's hear from Coach Budenholzer after a 111-96 Bucks victory over the Orlando Magic.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
All right, let's hear from Coach Budenholzer. Bucks get the win tonight over the Orlando Magic, 111-96. I wonder if anybody will bring up, I'll stop the presses. Justin Smoke just hit a home run for the Milwaukee Brewers. Was that a two-run shot? Did that tie it? That didn't tie a solo shot by Justin Smoke, so they're still
solo,
down.
Solo shot, yeah.
2-1, Twins still on top of the Brewers. They've been dominated to this point by the Twins pitching staff. But now 2-1, Smoke with a solo shot. Don't forget Tim Allen following us with the Pella, not the Pella, the Bayview Shade and Blinds, Bayview Shade and Blinds postgame show, I can say it. After Brewers and Twins are done, Sam Schmitz will be with Tim tonight. All right, so Bucks win 111-96. Here is Coach Budenholzer after the game.
Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about the defense and kind of what you guys are trying to do on that end. What do you think of the performance in the first quarter? And then you guys have two 30-point quarters in the second and third. Do you think you could see that change as the game went on?
Well, I think, you know, the entirety of the 48 minutes, I was, you know, mostly happy. And Vucevic, particularly, it felt like the start of the third quarter, you know, made some tough shots. But at the end of the day, I think we did a significantly better job in other areas. And he's a very, very good player. We have a ton of respect for him. But I think overall, you know, our defense was in a good place. We don't like 30, but, you know, we'll have to take a look at the film, and I can tell you right now, you got to give them some credit. You know, they're good.
You know, I asked you about Bled before the game. Just how big of a difference do you think he made on the ball tonight? It felt like from tip, he was on top of Fultz.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought, you know, Bled was really, really good. George, that tandem, those two guys, but Bled, you know, being able to put pressure on the ball, be disruptive. Just try and be aggressive. And we were able to do it today, and now we've got to be able to do it again going forward.
Matt Velazquez. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, I didn't know if I was introduced. So it seemed like every time Pat was in the game, he was doing something impactful, whether it was with his shot, with his defense, with his passing. Just what stood out to you about the way that Pat contributed today?
Yeah, he was great on both ends. He's just that guy that brought great energy to the defensive end. You know, we always talk about that first. He's chasing. They do a lot of stuff, you know, for their wings. You got to, you know, fight through a lot of screens, a lot of off-ball action. So, you know, that end, he's great. Rebounding, the big block shot in transition defense. So, you know, I think he sets the tone. In a good way, like everybody else defensively. And then, you know, obviously he shot the ball well. I think he hit 4 or 5 threes. You know, I thought the one that stood out to me, the go and catch out of the corner, and he gets Brooke for a wide open three. That's just good basketball. But, you know, Chris to Pat to Bled. It's good stuff. So, you know, you need guys to step up and play well, and Pat certainly did that today.
Malika Andrews.
Brooke Lopez told me that he was degrading his defense tonight. One, do you agree with that assessment? Two, just what did you see from him? He seemed to find himself a little bit more in this game.
How did you already get to Brooke Lopez for a grading? Okay, walk-off interview. Nothing like getting to grade yourself. I wish I could have done that in school more. No, I mean, Brooke was phenomenal tonight. You know, I think he was more himself. He's so important to us, and you know, I just think his activity everywhere was where we needed to be, and you know, just really, really happy with him. And you know, it's a tandem with the guards and the bigs; they're all working together. So, you know, we'll look at the film, but you know, my first gut reaction, I'll give him a good grade. I'll just leave it at that.
Steve McGargy.
Just in terms of the first half defense, was it just a difference in energy level, difference in execution, or what? Just what was the difference there, particularly in that first half stretch where you held them without a basket for about several minutes?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, our competitive spirit was, you know, closer to where we needed to be. And, you know, I think the guys just came out and they took it upon themselves to, you know, we've been talking about being more competitive and what it takes. And today, you know, was an example of that. And that first quarter, I don't know what they ended up with overall, you know, 13 points. You know, that's a big way to start a game, start a quarter, to put your imprint on it. So I just thought, you know, the guys brought their competitive juices today. Excuse me.
Kane Pittman.
Hey, good day, bud. We've spoke a little bit about closing games through the seeding games. It looked like it got a little bit messy towards the end, and I don't think it got closer than 9 points, but what did you see from the team offensively closing this one out? And then just to add to that, I think Bledsoe had a turnover and then he came out of the game and you finished with George Hill. What's the thought process there?
Yeah, I thought closing the game, there was a little bit of both. You know, there's, you know, a few plays where I thought, you know, guys made great reads, great decisions. And a couple where we just, you know, we got to be a little bit sharper, better passes, better reads. But, you know, it's I think will be a good thing to look at on film. And really, you know, Bled was great tonight all night. I think he went back in at about the 10-minute mark and did a lot of good things. And really, you know, for him with the pressure, it was more just giving him a break. I thought I'd probably go back with him. But I think we were able to kind of keep the lead and keep a cushion. And you know, George finished it, but, you know, Bled was phenomenal. And I don't even remember the turnover, to be honest with you. It was more just he'd been in since, I think, the 10-minute mark. And that's about time for him to just take a quick break and go back in.
Zora Stevenson.
Coach, coming into this game, you said you felt good, right? You felt like your team could be more aggressive, bring more energy. What has allowed you to have confidence in this group no matter what they're going through?
Well, I think, you know, in describing it today before the game, it's just the competitiveness of our team, the competitiveness of our players. They love to compete and play, and, you know, the character, you know, those are the two things that stand out to me. This is a competitive group. It's a high character group. And so you needed to respond. And that's what we did today. And, you know, really, we just got to, I think, start shifting towards getting ready for the next game and bring that same competitiveness to game three.
Eric Dame.
I think the one thing that sticks out as not going well tonight is Chris, 1 for 8, just 2 points. What have you seen from him in this series thus far? And I guess tonight, what do you think the Magic did to hold him down?
Well, you know, I would say overall, I love Chris's spirit. His, you know, again, defensively, some rebounds. I thought Chris was in a great place and, you know, I think was a big part of us, you know, being really good defensively. And, you know, he's maybe got a couple good looks that just haven't gone in. They're really keying in on him. And, you know, I think we're getting a lot of good things away from him. And, you know, other guys are stepping up and making plays. So, you know, I think Chris will get going. He'll get loose. We have all the confidence in the world. And, you know, I think the ball was in his hand late. I don't know, what did he end up with, assists, you know, 6 assists. So, you know, there's a ton of confidence in him. And, you know, he's going to come good for us.
He's going to have to come good for you if this thing is going to result in an NBA championship. You're not winning an NBA championship with Chris Middleton doing, obviously, what he did tonight. All right, let's check out Twitter and social media. It's brought to you by Hupie and Abraham. Injured, Hupie and Abraham voted best, rated best year after year. Hupie and Abraham, visit Hupie.com today. Connect with them on Facebook or on Twitter. We got a tweet coming in here. From Nick, who tweets at the fan, "I'm happy anytime the Bucks win. I've been a fan for many years, so I'm glad we won. We all know Middleton is better than he played tonight, and he will play much better in Game 3. Mids is number 2 on the team, no doubt about that." And that goes back to Ram earlier, one of our listeners, bringing up the fact that, you know, he thinks Middleton's a group of 4 or 5 guys on the second level behind Giannis on this team, and that it's no slam dunk that he's the second most talented player on this team. Jared tweets at the fan, "Chris number 2, Bledsoe number 3, and Dante DiVincenzo's number 4. Mayor Mitch Ross, I need to get your thoughts on this. Jared says Middleton is 2, Bledsoe is 3, and Dante DiVincenzo, the 4th most talented player on this team, Mayor Mitch.
I don't know where that, how that would happen.
So he says Dante's the 4th, not Brooke, Dante.
I would say, no.
No. Okay, just checking. Just checking.
I mean, Dante can jump high. I mean, if you want to go by, like, pure athleticism.
No, that's not what we're saying. We say talented.
If you want to go pure athleticism, I think Pat Connaughton's up there.
Well,
that
sure.
That dude can absolutely jump.
That's not the question we put on social media.
I know.
I did not
I guess
ask
you have to
who's
define
the best
talented.
Athlete. Huh?
You have to define talent.
Talented.
Best player. Best
Shooting ability, dribbling ability, rebounding ability.
I mean, it's not Dante DiVincenzo,
vision,
I'll tell you that.
All that together
Dante
equals talent.
Dante is completely lost right now.
Correct.
I mean,
yes. Kendrick tweets at the fan, Brooke is number 2 for him, Middleton number 3, Bledsoe is number 4 for Kendrick, lining up behind Giannis as far as most talented players on this team. And again, that is why we are doing the question, because Ram had brought something up earlier, and I wanted to have that conversation about just what I had said there. Okay, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Pat Connaughton coming up next here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studios on the Fan after the Bucks get a victory over the Orlando Magic 111-96. Series tied up at 1, Game 3, Saturday afternoon.
We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Brought to you by the Granville Business Improvement District. The Granville Connection is opening soon. Go to granvillebusiness.org to see how your small business can be a part of it.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on the Fan.
All right, time to hear from a certain one guy. We talked after the game in the locker room. I'll give you a clue.
Shot clock at 4. Connaughton again. 5-7 behind the arc. Pat Connaughton.
Why not? Shot clock winding down. His teammates alerted him of that fact. And the way he is stroking the ball tonight, why not? Why not you?
Why not Pat Connaughton? Pat C. did it up tonight. 111-96. Bucks get the win over the Orlando Magic. Connaughton on the night. 5 of 8 overall is what he finished with. 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple blocks, and a turnover. If you believe in that plus-minus goofy stat, which I don't, he was plus 16 on the night when he was on the floor. So the Bucks plus 16 went on the floor with our guy, Pat Connaughton. Okay, so let's hear from Pat Connaughton after this one. I would assume it's a happy Pat Connaughton talking to the media after the game.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that one, and honestly, the one on Terrence Ross late in the game when they were trying to run an ATL for him. I think that defensive side of the ball impact that, you know, myself, but really everybody on the team had tonight, hold them to 13 points in the first quarter, hold them under 100. You know, those are the things that we have to do, especially in playoff basketball, but that's, you know, what Bucks basketball is. And so that's what myself and I think all the guys are most proud of from the game tonight.
Matt Velasquez.
You know, Pat, right before the half, you guys are up by, you know, 19 points, get that rebound with about 6 seconds left. You could have just dribbled it out. Instead, you continue pushing and get that dunk for Giannis. Just how emblematic do you think that is of the night in general for you guys? You just kind of kept pushing.
You know, huge. I think it's the momentum plays. It's the things that, you know, the bench mob kind of prides itself on, and obviously the starters do really well. And I mean, if the biggest thing I remember from that play was Kyle was underneath pushing and shoving on Vucevic. If he doesn't get that hit, I'm not able to, you know, come down from the top side and grab the rebound and go over the top of him. And then, you know, we're not able to push it down. And Wesley Matthews ran the floor really hard. He was yelling my name on the wing. I jumped up, kind of gave a look at him through the, out of the corner of my eye, which, you know, made the defenders go with him. And Giannis was wide open under the basket. And I think, you know, that there's four guys right there that contributed to that play happening, which, you know, the average fan may not see on TV, but those are the things that we pride ourselves on, having each other's backs and making plays so that other guys on our team, you know, can dunk the ball.
Malika Andrews.
You know, when Brooke Lopez is our anchor on defense, I think sometimes, honestly, you know, as guards, we need to do a better job to help him out because of the amount he helps us out. And, you know, he's always, obviously, since he's been here, been a great shooter. When he's hitting shots, it makes us really hard to guard. But, you know, he's a guy that can do so much on both ends of the floor that, you know, when he's into it, when he gets intense, you know, when he does gets vocal to the team, maybe the guys in stripes sometimes, like, it gets us fired up because, you know, he's really into the game and he really has an impact.
Lance Allen.
Hey, Pat, you mentioned it, you know, only 13 first quarter points for the Magic, and I don't think they made back-to-back shots until, like, the midpoint of the second quarter. So it's a little bit noticeable that it was early intensity. Is that just energy from you guys because you're professional? Is it the coaches getting on you guys saying we are better than this? What was it for you guys right off the bat?
No, I'd say a mixture of both. You know, the coaching staff demanded more out of us. We demanded more out of ourselves. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to get everyone's best shot, and especially in the playoffs. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different mentality. Last year we had that chip on our shoulder because nobody believed in us, even when we were the one seed. This year, you know, according to the outside world, we're favorites. But we need to bring ourselves back to that chip on our shoulder mentality where, you know, it's us 16 guys in that locker room. It's our coaching staff. It's our, you know, equipment guys. It's our front office. It's whomever is here with us, the, you know, 30 some odd people that we have. And we have to have each other's backs, and we have to make sure that we do it with the chip on our shoulder that we, you know, really started this culture on at the beginning of last season.
Steve McGargy.
Just in that vein, what was said amongst yourselves after game one, and how different was the intensity level maybe leading up to this game compared to leading up to game one, or did you notice a difference in that regard?
You know, I would say it's similar to game one, round two versus Celtics last year. You know, we didn't play well. We were obviously disappointed in ourselves. Coaches were disappointed in us. You know, we had a film session that we needed to have. You know, we needed to look at ourselves in the mirror and understand, like, can we say, you know, Vucevic played phenomenal in game one and they had guys that hit shots? Yeah, we can say that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's on us to make them more uncomfortable to play the defensive brand of basketball that we've built here over the last two and a half years. And when we take that look in the mirror, it's how we respond. And I think that's what's made us great over the last few years is we respond to losses really well. Now, obviously, we'd prefer not to have them. But, you know, when they do happen, we want to make sure that we respond the following game and we continue to respond, you know, game after game after game, but taking it one game at a time.
Kane Pittman.
Hey, Pat.
Happy birthday, Kane.
Thank you. Thanks for the message. You took too much time doing that, but I appreciate it. My mum was very excited. Hey, if you were going to mention anything from the defensive side that Bud maybe wouldn't be happy about, maybe it's the free throw attempts. They had 31 on the game, 21 in the first half. What do you put that down to? I mean, you guys were super aggressive. You were clearly fired up. Is it maybe being too aggressive? Were the foul calls a little bit too touchy? What did you see with the Magic being able to get to the line so often?
You know, it's one of those things where we would love to not foul that much. And an emphasis at the beginning of the season was to try to defend without fouling. On the contrary of that, I think last game in game one, we were a little bit too cautious. If is probably the word I would use. And if we're going to defend aggressively, if we're going to get fouls going after it and making sure that they know that we're here, that we're on the defensive side of the ball and we're going to meet them at the rim, we're going to meet them above the three-point line, we're going to be up in them all night, then, you know, I think we're okay with it. Now, obviously, that's the next step, making sure we do it without fouling. But of course, as far as tonight goes, I think it was important for us to error on the side of being more aggressive and getting a few more fouls than what we did in game one.
There is Pat Connaughton from earlier this evening. Bucks win 111-96 over the Orlando Magic tonight. And the Bucks really in good shape now, I think, because now you got your confidence back.
a little bit of a boost as you get ready to play that game coming up on Saturday afternoon against the Orlando Magic. And like we said earlier, it's different than normal playoffs. You're in a situation where, you know, you're switching crowds, right? You're going from Fiserv Forum down to Orlando. And in this situation, you're not going to have to do that. And that obviously is a good thing for the Milwaukee Bucks, not having to worry to get on a plane and go fly to Orlando. What they do have to do is they have to go back to their hotel and figure it out. We've been talking about on the Wendy's Big Show about the mental state of the team. George Hill and Giannis after game one talking about the weight of the bubble and so forth. That comes on the heels of LeBron, who, what was it, last week, week before, started talking about, you know, you really got to love to play this game inside the bubble because there's really nothing to get you going. There's not that excitement level that the crowd generates or anything like that. And, you know, it's a tough deal being in the bubble. And I read a piece by Joe Vardon, and he talked about LeBron didn't look like playoff LeBron in game one. And I tended to agree with him and his thoughts on that. And he got blasted on social media for writing the piece. And now Josh Eberle tweets out, and he's with Hoop Mag, and he's been on Twitter forever and a day. He's been with NBA Canada and so forth. Now he tweets out, "Bron seems bothered. He doesn't seem right, and he's giving out the ominous quotes. I'm starting to worry." I don't know what's going on with him about the bubble or whatever the case may be, but they need him and his mind right in order to go win an NBA championship for the Lakers. I'll tell you that much. Joining us now is this guy right here.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez.
Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Divorce, child custody, or any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Bucks get the win 111-96 over the Orlando Magic. Joining us now, Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Feel better after game two than I did after game one, Matt Velasquez. Obviously, I think you can point to intensity level picking up for the Bucks. That's obviously part of it. And the other part of it is Orlando couldn't do anything shooting the basketball, especially from long range. At one point, they were like one of their first 16, I think, Matt. Are you there, Matt? Oh, hold on, Matt. There we go. Go ahead.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Sorry.
All right. I think, you know, obviously they didn't shoot the ball very well. I think they were like 7 of 33 from 3, and you mentioned like 1 of 16 to start. A lot of, you know, some of that is bad shooting, but a lot of that is the Bucks forcing them to work harder and,
for sure,
and find different shots and get more contested shots. Even when they were open, they might have to rush a little bit more. You know, they're not going necessarily to their first option, second option every time. So I think a lot of credit goes to the Bucks for the way that they worked and force the Magic into the tougher shots and to expend more energy to get shots. And so I think that the Bucks defense really took a step up. And I know that's something the guys after the game were saying that they took, you know, personally from game one, that, you know, they had a film session and, you know, that was what was brought up, was the defense. And if they're going to do anything, they better play some defense. And they definitely played some defense today.
So I had a caller earlier point out that he thinks that maybe Giannis is going to be expending too much energy if he's got to do what he did tonight throughout the rest of the playoffs in order for this team to advance and win from round to round if he doesn't get more help from the rest of his teammates. What do you say to that?
You know, I mean, I think he had some help. I think this person's probably alluding to he didn't get enough help from
Middleton. Of course.
That'd be my guess. Yeah. That'd be my guess. But I think Bledsoe, you know, was working really hard on defense and gave them a nice jolt offensively in the first half. Pat Connaughton off the bench was really, really good on both ends, I thought. Brooke Lopez, you know, he brought it, you know, and was doing what he was supposed to do, especially on offense, where they kind of just wanted him to space and give Giannis an outlet for when he drove and drew a crowd. So, you know, all that stuff. And Giannis did a lot. But I think he knew he needed to make a point that this is a game where they were down 1-0 in a series they shouldn't have been down at all. And he needed to kind of lead by example. He prides himself in leading by example. And so I think this was him doing that. Is he going to have to get 28 points and 20 rebounds every game? I don't think so. I don't know if he needed to necessarily do, you know, all of that tonight, but I think he set a tone. And what the team needed more than anything was to set the right tone.
You know, and talking about Chris Middleton, we heard Boonholzer on the show talk about the fact that he thought Middleton was in a good place. Some shots just weren't falling for him, and they expect him to bounce back. I'm on the same thought process that I think Middleton will be fine. But they do need Middleton to do what he did in the regular season. He's got to average 20 to 24 points somewhere in that area, night in, night out, as they get tougher teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that Pat Connaughton did what he did, and he made five threes and all that. You know, it's nice that Brook Lopez put up 20 and Eric Bledsoe was in the teens and they had multiple guys contributing. But you're right. Like, they need Chris Middleton to be Chris Middleton. The reason why the Bucks are as good as they were, you know, in the regular season was because Chris Middleton was great. Like, if Giannis is Giannis and Chris Middleton can be regular season Chris Middleton, the Bucks are so much harder to beat than when either of those guys has an off game.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. On that, one last thing, the refereeing, Giannis, do you think they've done a good job, or do you think Giannis deserves more in the way of star calls or otherwise from the referees?
Well, I just would appreciate some consistency, because I feel like there were a lot of ticky-tack fouls on the Bucks side, and Giannis was getting mauled, and he didn't get them.
Right.
But, you know, that's pretty standard, par for the course. So we'll see if anything ever changes.
He is Matt Velasquez on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Thank you, Matt. We'll talk to you coming up on Saturday.
All right, can't wait.
There you go. Bucks come up on the losing end tonight, 111-96. CBS Sports Radio up next, and Tim Allen after the Brewers game here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.